We're going to go to Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 30. I say this all the time to our middle schoolers. The reason why we tell you to stand up while we read the word of God is because when a king or president walks in the room, you stand. And so we're saying God is in the room when we open up the word of God. And so we are standing as a sign of honor and respect. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 30, it says this. Now as he being Jesus, was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And all the parents in the house said, amen. And he answered, the man answered and said to Jesus, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say to Jesus, "See, we have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." You may be seated. Yeah, we can put our hands together for the word of God. We're on this series called My Place in This World. We are all on a journey. And the goal and mission of this church is to move you along on this journey. The goal and mission of this church is to move you from where you are to where God wants you to be. And the reason why that is the mission and the goal of this church is because that is the heart and mission of God. Did you know that God wants to move you from where you are to somewhere else? Did you know that God is a moving God? In fact, it is the fourth thing we learn about God in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, the first thing we learn about God is that there is a God. The second thing we learn about God is that he was there before the beginning. The third thing we learn about God is that he is creative. He's a creator. And the fourth thing we learn about God is that his spirit is moving over the earth, waiting for the Father to speak so that he can move the earth according to the word of the Father, so that he could move the earth from where it is to where the Father wants it to be. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is still doing his job? that the Holy Spirit is still moving over the earth. In fact, he's moving over this room. In fact, he's moving over your heart. And his desire for you is that he would move you from where you are to where the Father wants you to be. Someone say amen.
Amen.
If you are here and you don't like where you are in life, maybe you feel like you've been dealt a bad set of cards. You feel like your life is not going well. Well, this idea of God wanting to move you from where you are to somewhere else is encouragement for you. This is the encouragement that where you are is not where God wants to keep you. Isn't that encouraging that if you don't like where you are, I've got good news for you, that where you are is not where God wants to keep you. Now, on the other hand, maybe you're experiencing a good life right now. Maybe everything is going just perfect, just as planned. You feel comfortable, you feel happy. Well, I have a challenge for you. This is the challenge, that where you are is not where God wants to keep you. He wants you moving. He wants you growing. And don't mistake healthy for growing. See, a baby can be healthy, but it's not fully grown yet. A baby is healthy, but it has not finished developing. And the same is with you. You may be loving life right now. You may be at a comfortable place right now. You may be healthy, and I'm glad that you're healthy, but God doesn't just want you healthy. God wants you growing. God wants you moving. Someone thank God for that. This is a never-ending journey. In fact, this is what I believe eternity is going to be like. See, some people, they think, I thought this when I was younger, that eternity is going to be like, I'm going to turn into a baby, and they're going to put me on a cloud, they're going to put a harp on me, and I'm just going to play a harp for all of eternity. That's what I thought. No, that's not what eternity is going to be like. In eternity, you are constantly going to be growing. You are constantly going to be learning. You're going to constantly be embracing and developing and maturing. How do I know this? Because there is no end to God. So we're always going to figure out more about him. There's always going to be more goodness to discover. There's always going to be more grace to discover. There's always going to be more power of God to discover. And as we discover more of him in eternity, we're going to discover more about ourselves, and we're going to constantly be growing and developing in eternity. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Last week, Pastor Tim, he talked about our location, our destination, and our condition. He helped us navigate where we are in life. It is important, if God is going to move you in life, it's important for you to be able to navigate where you are in the season of life. And when I think about this, it automatically makes me think about the word vision. Can you say vision?
Vision
is so important in life, both literally and figuratively. Did you know that vision, studies show that vision is connected to our grip? Did you know that? Did you know that studies show that as you begin to lose your vision, your grip weakens? The reason why is because your eyes inform your brain, which it then informs your hand, hey, what you're holding is heavy, so hold on tight. Your eyes inform your brain, which then informs your hand, what you're holding is fragile, so be careful. So when your vision gets blurry, you wrongly interpret what's in your hands and the weight of what's in your hands, so you end up dropping it all the time. Did you know that the same thing happens spiritually? That God places something in your hands, God wants to place blessing in your hands. God wants to place opportunity in your hand. God wants to place favor in your hand. But if you don't have a right vision for life, you will find yourself dropping the very things God wants to bless you with. You will find yourself dropping what God places in your hands. It's very important for us to realize that we need that 2020 spiritual vision from God. This is why it says in Proverbs, "My people perish for lack of vision." That word perish actually means my people lose restraint. They let go, they let loose. They can't hold on to things because they don't have vision. Vision is what's gonna let you hold on to that marriage. Vision is what's gonna help you hold on to that job. Vision is what's gonna help you hold on to that kid. I'm joking, don't hold on to them like that. Some of you are already there. Hold it on. I got vision, Pastor Juan. Vision is what's going to help you hold on to what God places in your hands. Amen. Vision is defined many different ways, but I'm going to define vision this morning like this. Vision is having a clear perspective of where you've been, where you are, and where you are going. All three are vital for us to have full vision. Let's first address where you've been, because it's something that we don't like to talk about. Some of us, we are scared to even think about our past. We want to leave the past in the past, and I'm all for that, but I don't know if you've ever been lost in the woods, and the moment you figured out that you were lost is when someone said, "Haven't we been here before?" It's because they know where they've been that they're able to identify when they're off track. It's because they know where they've been that they're able to assess something's wrong. Let's pull back some of the lessons we've learned in the past. The past helps frame our present and our future. And it's important for us to deal with the past. I'm the first one to say that the past is a beautiful place to learn from, but it's a horrible place to live from. I'm also the first to say that the past is like a rearview mirror. You need one, but don't use it as the steering wheel or you're in trouble. But at the same time, many of us do not rightly assess the past, so we become destined to repeat it. We don't fully deal with the past, so we don't learn the lessons that we're supposed to learn from assessing the past. It can be hard to deal with the past, but I want you to know something very encouraging. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and for the transformation of our life. And because of that, we can deal with our past, because we know that when we deal with our past with Jesus, Jesus helps us deal with it, and then he helps us move past our past. It's important for us to realize that the past doesn't have to be quicksand, that the past can be a launch pad that helps you get to where you are going. To have full vision, we need to know where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. Let's talk about where we are. This might seem like it's the easiest thing to identify. It's easy to know where I am right now in life, but it's not always easy to identify where you are. Pride can cause you to think that you're further along than you actually are. Insecurity can cause you to think that you're further off than you actually are. And so what we need is we need a mirror that we can look into and see the true condition of where we are currently in life. And that mirror is the truth. And the truth is found in three main places. The first place the truth is found is in the Word of God. We find the truth in God's Word. And this is important because the Word has a way of dividing bone and marrow. It has the way of dividing soul and spirit. That the Word of God is so powerful. I've heard it said that the Word of God is the only book that as you read it, it reads you. The Bible is the only book that when you read it, the author shows up every time. And when God shows up, when we read the Word has a way of searching through our hearts and showing us exactly where we are in life. So we find the truth in God's Word, but we also find the truth in God's Spirit. God's Holy Spirit, if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And we need to learn how to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because the whispers of the Holy Spirit will change your life. Yes. The whispers from the Holy Spirit are more powerful than any shouts from the world or any shouts you can develop on your own. When God whispers, something happens. And there's something about us asking the Holy Spirit, where am I in life? But then the Holy Spirit whispers to us and opens up our eyes to where we are. We can also get the truth through God's people. I don't know if you've ever heard someone say, it's me and God against the world. But that's not the way God intended it to be. God doesn't want it to be you and him against the world. He created you to be a part of a family, a part of a community. And it's important for us to be known. It's important for us to have people in our lives because maybe you don't know this, but everyone in this room, let me tell you a secret. Everyone in this room has blind spots. Everyone in this room has things that we have that we don't see, and we need someone else's help. Sometimes the only way you can have 20/20 spiritual vision is if you borrow someone else's eyes. Amen. Someone else has to love you enough to bring you in and say, hey, this is where you are in life. You might think you're here, but you're actually here. Someone has to love you enough. You have to let people love you. See, this is good what we're doing right now. We're in rows and we're in community, but it's also important not just to be in rows, but to be in circles. That's what small group is all about. It's all about you being known. It's all about you connecting and people knowing you and people being in your life and people keeping you accountable so that you can know the truth. Because sometimes we try to hide from it, but people will not let you hide. People will tell you exactly where you are in life. Every married person said amen. Your spouse will tell you exactly where you are in life if you ask them. So to have full vision in life, we need to know where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. I want to talk to you a little bit about vision for the future. When it comes to vision for the future, the hardest season to have vision for the future is the first quarter of your life and the last quarter of your life. The first 25 years of your life, it's hard to have vision for the future because you're so confused. You don't know what you want to do. You don't know what you want to be. You think you're going one direction and then things change up for you and you really don't know what God has for you. And so it's hard to have vision for the future. in the last quarter of your life, it can be hard to have vision for the future because that can be a time where you're so consumed about your conclusion that you begin to think all about yourself. You begin to say, man, I've given my life to my work and my kids. Now is the time to think about myself and take care of myself. And it can be hard to have vision for the future, to think about the future. And I have a piece of advice for the people who are in both of those seasons. For those who are in the first quarter of your life, I want you to know that a shaky plan is better than no plan. That an insecure vision is better than no vision. You may not have all the answers, but leverage what you do know. Leverage what never changes in God's word. Leverage the giftings you do have, the resources you do have, the opportunities that are clearly in front of you. Don't mistake this talk about vision to mean that you have to wait till everything is crystal clear before you do anything. Most of the time, things don't get clear until you start planning. And if you are in the last quarter of life, I want you to know this, that as long as there is breath in your lungs, your community needs you to keep on dreaming for the future. We need you in the game, maybe at a different capacity, but still in the game. You have a unique ability to point your wisdom, resources, and time in a way that leaves a mark like no other stage of life can. Don't leave us to dream on our own. Don't leave it to the young guys. It may be our turn to be on the field, but it's your turn to be our coach. Dream with us. Pray with us, build with us. That's what it takes to have full vision for life. If you want to go from where you are to where God wants you to be, you need to know where you've been, where you are, and where you're going. But here's the twist. Although vision is needed for victory, vision does not equal victory. I'm going to say it like this. You can't have victory without vision, but you can have vision without victory. Have you ever met someone who has so much vision, so much passion, so much hope, but they never seem to get anywhere? And let me show it to you like this. I have this picture on the screen, and this is directions to Disney World. We've got everyone free passes to Disney World. I'm just joking. We don't have passes for you. This is directions from Meadowbrook Church to Disney World. And in order to get directions, you need to know where you are and you need to know where you're going. And in fact, it will even show you, next slide, it will even show you how long it takes to get there. Did you know that there is a short way to God's plan for your life, and there is a long way? Please take the short way. Take the short way. But aren't you glad that even when you choose to take the long way, He knows how to get you exactly where He wants you? And aren't you glad that when we take a wrong turn, He knows how to reroute us and to get us to where He wants us to be? But here's the thing, that this picture, next picture, this picture that shows us where we are and where we're going, this cannot get me to Disney World. I am directionally challenged. How many directionally challenged people? People always try to talk to me about streets and all these kind of things, and I'm like, I just go where the GPS takes me. I need a GPS just to go to the bathroom, okay? Like, I have no clue where I'm going. I just follow the GPS. So this is not going to help me. This is not going to help me get from where I am to where God wants me to be. What do I have to do? I have to push start. And when I push start, what happens? When I push go, it zooms in and it shows me my next step, which is turn left on Southwest 20th Street, wherever that is. And that's what I want to spend the rest of the time talking about. I want to talk to you about your next step. You know where you've been, you know where you are, you know where you're going, but none of that matters if you don't take your next step. Sometimes the whole picture, the whole vision paralyzes us, but your most important step is your next step. The most powerful thing you can do today, the most powerful act of worship that you can offer God today, the most amazing thing that you can do this week is take your next step. Maybe your next step is to sign up for something. Maybe it's to cancel a subscription. Maybe it's to send a text. Maybe it's to delete a phone number. Maybe it's to ask forgiveness or give forgiveness. Maybe your next step is to open a savings account. Maybe it's to buy a book, sell a car, talk to a counselor. Maybe it's to choose to eat differently. Maybe it's choosing to set a time to go to sleep or wake up. Listen to me, success comes step by step. Deliverance is lived out day by day. One person's happy about that. Miracles happen taking one moment at a time. Which brings me to the story of the rich young ruler. I didn't forget, I promise. The rich young ruler, he saw where he was and he wanted more. He wanted to draw closer to God's plans for his life. In fact, he goes to Jesus and he says, "How can I gain eternal life?" Now, when he was saying eternal life, he wasn't thinking about what we think about, which is heaven. He was actually, the word that he uses there, he's actually talking about, how can I live the divine life? How can I live a quality-filled, prolonged life here on the earth? And Jesus tells them, obey the commandments. And he says, I've done that. In fact, Jesus does something really cool. In this conversation, Jesus tells this young man who we call the rich young ruler, he tells this man, come and follow me. This is amazing because when we read the Gospels, the only people that Jesus says, come and follow me, are the people that end up becoming apostles. So Jesus was offering this man his next step. Come and follow me. But he was stuck on his next step. He could not take that next step. What was that next step? It was sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. The next step isn't always the easiest step. See, most of us in the room, we're not 300 steps away from God's plan for our life. Most of us are just 2 or 3 steps away from God's plan for our life, for the next level of our lives. But those 2 or 3 steps are the hardest ones to take because they push up against so much insecurity, so much fear, so much doubt. They push up against the status quo. And the ruler, the rich young ruler, had done so much, but he was stuck here. He was stuck on his next step. What about you? What step has you stuck? Is it singing lessons? Is it a gym membership? Is it marriage counseling? Is it growth track? Is it being generous? Is it going to AA? Is it getting restrictions on your phone? Is it giving someone the password to your devices? Is it going on a mission trip? Is it applying for SEU? Is it coming to an altar and giving your life to Jesus? Is it a while that the rich young ruler was so close to Jesus, yet he was stuck? His proximity, his closeness to Jesus couldn't bypass his need to take his next step. And because he was unwilling to take his next step, he might as well have been oceans apart from Jesus. Listen to me, you can be in this room. You can feel God's presence. You can be on a dream team. You can be a giver and yet still be stuck on next. All the vision, passion, and hope in the world is forced to pause and wait for you to take your next step. In fact, I have a question for you in this room. And the reason I ask this question is so that we can all see that we're not alone in this. If you're here and you would be honest and you would say, Pastor Juan, there's a step that I am avoiding and that I'm not taking in life. There's something that God wants me to do, and I know He's been wanting me to do it, someone that I'm supposed to call, someone that I'm supposed to forgive, something that I'm supposed to do, and I've just been avoiding it over and over again. I have a next step that I know I'm supposed to take. Can you raise your hand if that's you? It should be all across this room. There should be people, me included, that's saying, man, I know that there's a next step that I'm dreading, but God wants me to take that next step. You can put your hands down. Here's another one for you. If you can close your eyes and bow your heads. Like I said in the beginning, there was going to be an opportunity where I was going to give people to make Jesus not just the Savior of your life, but the Lord of your life, which means He's in control. He's the boss. He decides how you live. Maybe you're here in this room, and the step that you need to take is the most important step of all. You need to give your life 100% to Jesus. Not 80, not 90, not 99. 100% to Jesus. You know you haven't done that. You know you're not right with Jesus. You know you haven't asked forgiveness of your sins. You know that you don't have the Holy Spirit transforming you from the inside out. But you need to take that next step of embracing all that God has for you. If you're here and you say, that's the step that I need to take today, my next step is I need to surrender my life fully to Jesus. I believe something supernatural is gonna happen to you as you take this next step of just raising your hand right across this room. If you say, that's me, I need to give my life to Jesus. Can you raise your hand all over this room? Raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. I'm tired of my old life. I'm tired of doing things my way. I need to do things God's way. One more time. Lift up your hands if that's you. If you say, that's me, I need to give my life entirely to Jesus. Can everyone stand in this place? Listen, if you raised your hand, I'm gonna ask you in just a moment to come to this altar. And I know this is something that we always fight with, coming to the altar, but you saw earlier that I said, how many of you have ever come to the altar and have had God do something significant in your life, and hands went up all around this room. And we just want you to have that same opportunity where you come to the altar, and we saw in first service, three people came to the altar and you just saw tears in their eyes. God was doing something significant in their life. He was reordering their life, and that's what we want for you. Sometimes we tell ourselves, the enemy tries to whisper to us and say, oh, you can just stay in your seat. You can just pray from your seat. And you can, but there's something significant when you take that step and you come to the altar and you say, I don't care who's around. I need Jesus and I need Him to change me. There's something that happens. And so as the worship team plays this song, what I'm gonna ask, if you are here and you raised your hand, or you wish you would have raised your hand, I want you to meet me at the altar. And listen, if you're scared to come up, look at the person next to you and say, would you come up there with me and support me? And they would be more than happy to come up here with you. Come on, can you come up right now? Let's put our hands together.